Welcome to episode 6 of the Rider Dynasty podcast. Welcome back and thank you for listening. I'm your host, Michael Kloss. I'm joined by my co-hosts and fellow co-founders, Ryan Bickerstaff and JJ Winner.
Happy to be here.
All right. Well, you can find us at our website, riderdynasty.com, and we're on Twitter at Rider Dynasty. And all our personal Twitter accounts are in the bio there. Please give us a follow and connect with us.
So let's get right to the show. We are privileged to have a special guest with us today. He is a favorite contributor of the Dynasty FF subreddit, a writer for Dynasty League Football, and he is, of course, the founder of the Vitruvian Prospect blog. We welcome Noah Hills to the Rider Dynasty podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. It's good to be here. This is exciting. My first podcast appearance.
Buddy, should be fun.
All right. Well, it's great to have you on the show, Noah. And by the way, for those of you listening out there, you can read Noah's articles at thevitruvianprospect.blogspot.com. All right, so please give us a little background about yourself and how the Vitruvian Prospect came to be.
So I've just been playing fantasy football since I was like 12. I joined my dad's league. They still do it via email, so it's not online. So that was kind of my first experience, and then I just become, you know, more and more obsessed as time goes on. And then started writing for a website last August, you know, contributed a couple articles and then kind of wanted to branch out on my own. So I figured, I mean, I don't know anything about running a website, but I started a blog and, you know, just kind of started putting stuff out. So
yeah, that's awesome. We've actually talked a lot privately about a lot of the work that you've been doing. Ryan is a huge fan and was just touting everything that you've put up there. Now, you developed a metric called Satellite Score, which analyzes a running back's college production. Can you tell us a little bit about what goes into that?
Yeah, so it basically adjusts a player's receiving production for their overall production in college. So it kind of gives context to, you know, kind of a common metric to use to analyze a player's receiving capabilities is target share. So it kind of gives context to that number by looking at their overall contributions to their team's offense. And so, you know, just kind of as an example, like Alvin Kamara's target share in college was 14%, which is pretty high. And Aaron Jones was 13.9%, so pretty much equal. But Kamara's dominator rating, you know, we know at Tennessee he wasn't a great producer.
Right.
You know, he kind of always had that as a knock on him as a prospect. And Aaron Jones, you know, at UTEP was ridiculously productive. You know, his dominator rating was like 47%, you know, absolutely insane. And so if you adjust for their overall production, you know, so much of Alvin Kamara's total contributions were as a receiver, whereas Aaron Jones was contributing in the receiving game largely, you know, as a product of just being the best player on the team at UTEP. So Satellite Score would tell you that, whereas, you know, Alvin Kamara has a Satellite Score in like the 92nd percentile. Jones is, you know, almost average. And so, you know, we'd expect him to be, you know, an almost average contributor as a receiver, where obviously Alvin Kamara is elite.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So have you been able to look at like all draft classes? How are you able, like, or do you just look going forward?
Yeah. So it kind of works going backwards as well. It's obviously, I use it to evaluate prospects. And so to a certain extent, once guys have, you know, put together a couple of years in the league, they are what they are. You know, Frank Gore has a couple 50 reception seasons on his resume and his Satellite Score is like a 21 something, which, you know, it goes all the way up to, like, Ty Montgomery played receiver in college. His is like 175. So 21's kind of, you know, down there in like the 25th percentile. But, you know, it's kind of a good way to lost my train of thought. What was the question?
No, just talking about looking forward and looking backward with this. So are you able to find like comps?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, as far as looking backward, I think it's a good way of keeping, I always like to keep a guy's profile as a prospect in mind when evaluating them in the NFL, especially their first couple of years. Like a guy like James Conner was, you know, really productive and and contributed as a receiver this last year when given the opportunity, you know, way more than anybody would have expected. And, you know, his satellite score wouldn't have told you that he was going to be a good receiver. So I think for me, I like to keep in mind, you know, I wouldn't have thought this guy would be a good receiver. So let's not get ahead of ourselves after one great year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which rookie running backs do you love going into 2019? And can you give us a few that you're not quite so high on also?
Yeah, so there's I'm like most people, I don't think this running back class is the best, but there are several guys that I'm fans of. I like I'm looking for guys who project to have the highest weighted opportunities in the NFL. So I like big guys who are going to see a lot of volume on the ground, and I like those big guys to be capable in the passing game. And so, you know, the top three, you know, everybody's top three, Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs, and David Montgomery, I think check all those boxes. They have the bell cow size and the plus receiving ability, you know, especially Jacobs in that regard. His final season satellite score was like 37, which isn't incredible, but it's above average. But he has, you know, 90 plus satellite score seasons on his resume where he was just, you know, exclusively a receiver out of the backfield at Alabama. So that makes his profile look really nice. And then I like a lot of the guys in that second tier, you know, the Alexander Mattison, the Dexter Williams, Ty Johnson, Daryl Henderson, of course, guys who, you know, don't quite have the full package that the top three do, but, you know, you can see them, you know, getting early career opportunity and being able to make the most of it because they have the size and they have the receiving ability. And then some guys I'm not as big a fans of. I hate Devin Singletary. He's a small guy. I know he posted some quality receiving seasons earlier on in his career, but each year at Florida Atlantic, he decreased his contributions as a receiver. His final year satellite score is down in the Jordan Howard, Ronald Jones range. Just really doesn't speak well to his potential as a receiver in the NFL. And I've been looking into a lot of rushing efficiency numbers, you know, adjusted for team. And so, you know, a guy like Daryl Henderson was absolutely insane at Memphis. You know, he's like, you know, 2017 Bryce Love, but, you know, even more because he's, you know, the competition is less. But a guy like Devin Singletary, his yards per carry, you know, a given Devin Singletary rush was gaining a yard and a half less than the given rush from any other Florida Atlantic running back. So he just wasn't even making the most of his opportunities, you know, in Conference USA. So he's one guy I'm down on. The Justice Hill and kind of the Darwin Thompson types, I don't know that they're super elite as receivers, and at their size, I think you need to be. So I think they landed in good spots, but I'm not super, super enthusiastic about them as players.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, so quick question. I was looking at your post-draft running back rankings, which were really interesting. But I noticed that you have James Williams ranked number 10, and that you have Darwin Thompson. I know you just mentioned him as 19th.
Yeah.
How do you take into account draft capital into your rankings?
So I definitely take it into account. I think by pure talent, just as an example, I prefer David Montgomery over Josh Jacobs pre-draft, but I think, you know, the Raiders, you know, taking him in the first round kind of signifies that they want to feature him. And then, you know, David Montgomery goes in the third round to a good spot. So it shuffles things around a little bit, but I always want to keep in mind that, you know, which guys did I think were the best players. And so a guy like Devin Singletary, I'm not going to suddenly like him because he went in the third round. You know, I got to keep in mind who I thought he was as a prospect. And so the dichotomy between James Williams and Darwin Thompson is an interesting one because they're both kind of that archetype of smaller guys who, you know, kind of profile as a pass catching back. And I just think James Williams is so much better at that than Darwin Thompson is. I think he steps into the league and is immediately, you know, like a Giovanni Bernard, Chris Thompson level satellite back. And, you know, he has that capability. I don't know if he'll get that work, but Darwin Thompson doesn't have the size really to see large volume. You know, guys have done it before, but it's hard to bet on him when there's, you know, guys like Damian Williams and Carlos Hyde on the roster who are more suited to that. And then a guy like James Williams, who, you know, I think is an elite pass catcher. I just don't know. I don't know where Darwin Thompson's gonna see touches.
Yeah, absolutely. So looking at your ranking of Tony Pollard and Dexter Williams. Dexter Williams surprised me. It was a name I had heard of, but coming in at sixth, it just seems to me like in that one instance that Tony Pollard has a much clearer path to be a backup with only Darius Jackson in front of him. Yet you seem higher on Dexter Williams. What was pushing you in that direction?
Yeah, I really like Tony Pollard as a talent. I just see him as more of like a gadget player. You know, the Cowboys had, you know, they signed Tavon Austin a couple of years ago, and
yep,
we heard the talk about giving him, you know, 24 touches a game, which was ridiculous. But, you know, I think Tony Pollard is a really talented guy, and his satellite score is obviously through the roof because he played receiver in college, you know, a lot of the time. So he's going to be a weapon. I just don't know that he's the Zeke handcuff. You know, I see Mike Weber in that role. If they plan on using Pollard like that or as a pure satellite back, he'll shoot way up in my rankings into, you know, the top 15 probably. But I just, you know, anticipate them using him as kind of a gadget weapon. Whereas as Dexter Williams, I caught on to him late in the process. You know, I wasn't super eager because he didn't have that great receiving production, but a later breakout at Notre Dame, but he was productive and he was ridiculously efficient at a good program with, you know, quality athleticism to legitimize that. And so I think he should supplant Jamal Williams on the Green Bay depth chart pretty quickly. And then, you know, if Aaron Jones continues to get nicked up, I think Dexter Williams has, you know, league winning upside anytime he sees touches in an Aaron Rodgers led offense.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of fantasy guys who want to see the death of Jamal Williams in that backfield. Kind of has taken that role and murdered it, but not in a good way.
Yeah, he's been sucking the life out of the fantasy production there for a couple of years now. So,
thanks a lot, Noah. Now we have a special treat just for you.
So let's go to our second segment, and we just didn't bring Noah on today for an interview. Now, even though I feel a lot more prepared and excited, really, Noah, to apply some of your insights to my next rookie draft, Noah is going to help us with a rookie mock draft.
We've decided to do a 2-round rookie mock this time. So basic league settings, we're going to do a 14 team based on half point PPR. So we're going to be drafting 28 players in total, and we'll be drafting in order with our guest, of course, going first. So Noah, you're leading off with the 1-1.
Okay, this is non-super flex, right? This is just
non-super flex.
One quarterback. Okay, so my Kyler Murray choice is off the board. I thought a lot about this. You know, generally I want to go running back at the top of the draft. I want my picks to accrue value over year one, and I think, you know, early round running backs tend to do that more than early round wide receivers. So all things being equal, I'd be going running back here, but I think there's a receiver who's the clear top prospect in this draft. So I'm going to go N'Keal Harry at 101.
I was hoping you were going to go with that running back so I could get Harry at the second spot. I can't pass up a bell cow back in Oakland. Got to go old school with Gruden. He's going to be running the ball a lot. Lynch isn't there, so I'm taking Josh Jacobs.
Okay, I think I'm going to step in with the 103. And this one's kind of tough because I think in this area I'd probably jump between like Miles Sanders, maybe a David Montgomery. I think to be consistent, I've all offseason, all year so far gone with Miles Sanders, and I think I'm gonna stick with that. I believe that he's probably the second best back post NFL draft. Found a pretty good landing spot. So Miles Sanders is gonna go with the 103.
All right. So moving on to my pick at 104. There's been a couple of guys I've been pounding the table all offseason about. And Well, one of them is happens to be Andrew Luck's shiny new receiver to throw to.
I knew you were going to do that.
Paris Campbell out of Ohio State. I think he steps into Indianapolis as a receiver too immediately, and he has number one receiver potential. It might be a little high, but I don't think so.
I like it. So that leaves me at the 105 with one of those top three backs still available. So I'm glad last of them fell to me. So I'm going to go with David Montgomery at the 105 and lock in a three down back here.
Still can't believe he went with the homer pick of Paris Campbell, but I've come to expect that from my man Ryan. You know, with the Baldwin news, I am actually going to take DK Metcalf. Ooh. At the 1-6. I think with Baldwin being cut and now retired, I think there is an open spot for him. And yeah, Petey Sunshine's going to get him the ball. So I take DK Metcalf.
I feel like I have another hard decision. What am I right now? The 107?
That's correct.
Interesting spot. And I feel like I waffle a whole lot when it comes to this. Would you hate me at this point if I took Mecole Hardman? Because I know we talked in our last pod about him not being the Tyreek Hill replacement per se, but he very well just might get a lot of reps in that offense. And I currently do love that offense. I still trust Patrick Mahomes, no matter how much regression people think that is going to come with him. I think that it's extremely safe. I know I wasn't super pumped up on some of his combine splits, and just what he kind of put out there. But I'm going to trust the Chiefs in this one. So, Mecole Hardman with the 107.
Solid. All right. Well, I'm going to throw a little bit of a curveball here. This is a player I was kind of – all right, here's the thing. I love the player. I was critical of the pick.
Daniel Jones.
All right. So my favorite baseball pitcher of all time is Justin Verlander. And, Justin Verlander played for the Detroit Tigers, and the player I'm taking plays for the Detroit Lions. And the Verlander thing is because he was known for having a nasty curveball. TJ Hockenson. I'm going to take Hockenson.
You finally come around on TJ.
I'm finally coming around. All right. I'm trusting that this is a new coaching regime. I'm trusting that they're going to get Hockenson involved in the passing game more so than Eric Ebron was in Detroit. And TJ Hockenson, dial it up.
Yeah, I think in a draft with not a lot of super elite talents landing in great landing spots, I think Hockenson is as good a first-round pick as any, really. But with him off the board, I'm going to go with a guy who was neck and neck with N'Keal Harry as my number one wide receiver going into the draft, and he didn't – you know, a lot of people don't like his landing spot, but I think I'm a believer in the Titans, so I'm going to go A.J. Brown. I think Mariota's not dead. I think Derrick Henry's a beast. I think Corey Davis is still talented. I think it's not as bad a situation as people think. So I'm going A.J. Brown here.
Solid pick. I really don't like where I'm at right now in this draft. This is actually where I've been drafting a lot. I've been getting a lot of Hockenson. I've been getting a lot of Fant. But I also play in tight end premium leagues, and that is not what this is. I am going to reach, and I think my man Lamar Jackson is going to prove himself to be quite the passer. And I am taking Hollywood Brown. I think he has the receiving and running ability to really stretch defenses in a way that Lamar Jackson did last year. And I think they're just going to be too much. for defenses to handle.
No, that's a good pick. And I think that's really interesting too, that, you know, that you brought him up there, because we liked a lot of his pre-NFL draft kind of status. And then as soon as he goes to Baltimore, everybody kind of fades him a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that that's a good landing spot for him. With the 111, I'm going to go with a guy that I actually drafted in my most recent rookie draft is Daryl Henderson. I know that Todd Gurley has got some issues. I don't think that he's going to, you know, Gurley is just not going to see the field, though. I think that the realm of possibility that Henderson comes in and takes – you know, maybe 100, 120 snaps away from him. And I don't think that that's pushing too terribly hard. I would love to see him in a Kamara-like role, not comparing Henderson to Kamara whatsoever, but I think that that would be a really neat just addition to a Rams offense that is just really stung by that Super Bowl, and they're going to come out firing on all cylinders, and I know that Henderson can catch passes. I know that he can spell Gurley. That's a real pretty interesting 1-2 punch out of the Rams backfield, and I'm really excited to watch that. So 111, we're looking at Daryl Henderson.
It's a solid pick, and especially with Todd Gurley's knee. I mean, who knows?
Right, right. You don't know, and I think that it's still a good handcuff that if you have Gurley, take him at that point. But still, even if you don't, it would be just a really good pick at that time. And that's kind of where I've seen him go to.
All right. Well, so we're at what, pick 112 now?
That's right.
All right. So I'm going to go back to being predictable then.
Oh, Jesus.
JJ already knows what's
Nobody
coming.
Nobody likes that, Ryan. Nobody likes predictability.
All right. Andy Isabella.
That's been your guy too?
I've been, you know, Andy Isabella has been one of my guys all offseason. I've unfortunately missed him in two of my drafts so far. You know, is what it is. He's going to challenge for being the number two receiver in Arizona this year. Andy Isabella, it's a no-brainer for me. He's actually number six on my big board.
Whew.
Yeah.
Damn, okay. So here I am, and looking at the board at this point, in real life, I'm in hard trade back territory at this point in the draft, but this is a mock draft, and I don't think I can do that here. So
you can do whatever you want, Noah. Guests have that awesome privilege.
Okay, well, I'll pick just for fun. I think at this point it's between Deebo Samuel and Noah Fant for me, and I'm probably going Noah Fant. I just think, you know, San Francisco is pretty crowded with Deebo Samuel type receivers, and while he's probably the best of the bunch, Noah Fant has a chance to be a really special tight end. And I don't love the landing spot, but, you know, at this point in the draft where it's, you know, late first or, you know, kind of early to mid second in a 10 or 12 team environment, I, you know, can't pass up the chance at a really elite tight end.
Don't you say it, JJ. Don't you say it. I know what you're thinking. Thinking about Joe Flacco.
And you're thinking I love Joe Flacco. He's elite. But I drafted Noah Fant in a league, so I have to cheer for Flacco right now. So I'll hold my breath and do it. He's the GOAT. I am going to, of course, I'm so happy Ryan's picking two in front of me, because I'm going to pick the real wide receiver that Arizona drafted, Hakeem the Dream Butler. Andy Isabella could not get off press coverage to save his life. He was dropping balls at practice. I mean, I hope they're going to scheme for him not to get pressed, but the second you get hands on him, he weighs like 5 pounds. Of course, I also drafted Hollywood Brown, who actually does weigh 5 pounds. So I guess I should just shut up and take it. All right, on to the next pick.
All right, so like I guess before that, before we head on to the next pick, that was 14. So I'm just going to recap quickly what we thought our first round looks like. So the 101 was N'Keal Harry, followed by Josh Jacobs, then Miles Sanders. Paris Campbell comes in at the 104, followed by David Montgomery. DK Metcalf rises back up on the board after the draft. Mecole Hardman follows. At 108, you're looking at TJ Hockenson. 109 was AJ Brown. 110 was Hollywood Brown. Daryl Henderson followed. Andy Isabella, Noah Fant at 113, and then Hakeem Butler finished the first round of our mock draft. So starting the second round now, I have a lot of options, and I think looking at the talent that's out there, I don't think that I can pass up Deebo Samuel. I know that he's just really versatile. He's extremely quick. I think that he's going to just be a really good NFL receiver, and he might even be, again, one of the passing leaders early. I know that it's really, Ryan, we've had this debate back and forth, whether you love Jimmy Garoppolo or you don't. It might be a safety valve. Jimmy Garoppolo might actually be the type of guy that just dink and dunks this year with three different running backs and a bevy of wide receiver talent that, you know, can get open hopefully in space and then, you know, do some damage on those short and intermediate routes. So I think this is the perfect time to pick Deebo Samuel. As Noah said, he was kind of looking at him or thinking about him earlier than this. I'm not going to say it's a value at this point, but I think it's a very good – I would be happy to start the second round with Deebo Samuel in a 14-team league.
Very solid pick, actually. I think Deebo Samuel has a very high floor and I think he's a very safe player. And will definitely be at least good. I'm going to go ahead and since JJ kind of sort of sniped me a little bit, I've been kind of banking on this this whole like Hakeem Butler's value took a hit because he went in the fourth round thing to get him later in drafts. It worked out in one league, actually. But I'm going to go ahead and mix it up a little bit and take Kyler Murray. He's going to be set up for success. I mean, Cardinals went out and just they loaded that offense with new weapons for him. Cliff Kingsbury's offense is made for Kyler Murray. It's a match made in heaven. I don't see any way Kyler doesn't succeed. I'm going to throw it out there. I could see him having like 30 combined touchdowns as a rookie. And I don't think that's that ridiculous.
Yeah, I can definitely see it too. And I could see he's going to have a ridiculously high floor with, you know, the rushing. You know, we saw that from Lamar Jackson this year, who's not nearly as polished as a passer coming out as Kyler Murray is, and not surrounded by the same kind of, you know, forward thinking, offensive mind and pass catching talent that Kyler Murray is. So if you hadn't taken him, I would have gone with him here. I think this is the perfect point in the draft in a one quarterback league to go with a guy like Kyler Murray. So here I am again in hard trade back territory, but I'm going to go with Irv Smith, I think. I really like the landing spot in Minnesota. I think he's, he's been a solid number three throughout the process as far as tight ends go for, I think, a lot of people. And yeah, his landing spot in Minnesota is better than Noah Fant's. It's, you know, it's probably better than TJ Hockenson's.
Yeah, and Minnesota's actually looking at trading possibly Kyle Rudolph too.
So. Yeah. Kyle Rudolph maybe leaving town soon. Irv Smith operating, you know, in the seam, you know, with Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs eating up coverage everywhere else. I think he has a chance to be a really solid tight end. So,
all right, following up that pick, I am going to go with the running back drafted by my hated team, the New England Patriots, Damian Harris. I think it's a little bit of an indictment on Sony Michel's knee that they took him. So I'm taking him and just praying that, you know, he gets some playing time there.
Once again, we're looking at a debate with me. I guess you could just say I'm having a really hard time each time as you guys go and you pick and you continue taking people off my board. I have this hard debate with a set of receivers, and I'm going to go with Diontae Johnson. Ooh. I didn't have him very high on my board early, but I think that Ben Roethlisberger just makes receivers produce in that offense. I don't think that Juju is in for the absolute volume that everyone and where people are drafting him. I think that it will come. I don't know that it will essentially happen this year. And I do have high hopes for him and high expectations. But Diontae Johnson could challenge, again, that number two role. James Washington didn't really do much of anything last year. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if Johnson steps in immediately and has a big impact there. So the 205 is going to be Diontae Johnson.
Nice. Fun fact, I actually go to the same university as Diontae Johnson. Can't say I ever met the guy, but he's a good player, and I trust the Steelers in at, you know, their ability to develop wide receivers. I'm looking at my board right now, and I'm kind of shocked a little bit that there's one player sticking out to me that is just sitting there. JJ Arcega-Whiteside. I don't know how he's fallen this far. I mean, we're what, pick
206.
206. I know our very own JJ has been very high on Mr. Arcega-Whiteside all off season. So I'm going to go ahead and, since he took Hakeem Butler, I'm going to go ahead and take J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who I believe could end up being the number one receiver for Carson Wentz sooner rather than later.
You.
Heard about Sparrow.
I hate you, Ryan.
So I think I'm up again. At this point in the draft, I'm reaching into the second tier of running backs, and I'm going to take some guys that I think who have a real chance of accruing value during their first year, maybe more than a wide receiver might. And I published my running back rankings about a week ago, and I had Alexander Mattison ahead of Dexter Williams. But I'm going to go ahead and officially flip-flop right now on the podcast. I'm going with Dexter Williams. I think he's a better runner than Mattison is. He was more efficient at Notre Dame than Mattison was at Boise State. I don't know if he's the receiver that Mattison is, but I don't know that those guys are going to have huge receiving roles in the NFL anyway. And both of them, you know, need injuries to see significant touches, but I like the upside of an Aaron Rodgers-led offense more than I like the upside of a Kirk Cousins-led one. So, and Dalvin Cook is more of an established starter than you know, Aaron Jones is, as much of a talent as I think Aaron Jones is. So I'm going with Dexter Williams here.
Wow, that's a great pick, and especially based off your rankings, I can't argue with you. and we talked about it earlier, so I can definitely see him getting the opportunity. I'm at the point in the draft where I really don't want to take this player because I already took somebody from Baltimore, but I can't say no to Miles Boykin. I mean, he represents, to me, the best value at wide receiver at this point in the draft.
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree. I would have gone with him with my next pick, probably.
Well, I hope at 2, or I guess I've got 209 right now, so I hope someone in the next couple of picks takes Alexander Mattison because I absolutely love him. But I'm going to jump ahead and take Devin Singletary. I do believe that he is probably a player that can get to the top of that depth chart on the Bills quicker than really a lot of other of our rookie running backs that we've kind of talked about. Maybe not just because of injury, but just because of age. obviously we can't predict what's going to happen to McCoy or Gore or even Yeldon, but I've really enjoyed watching Singletary's tape, and I think that, you know, even though he's a little undersized, the Bills can really use that to their advantage. So, like I said, please somebody bail me out here and take Madison in a little bit, but I'm gonna pop Singletary up there at the 209.
All right, you know, Michael, it's funny you say that because you just allowed Madison to fall to me. That's who I'm taking, Alexander Madison. He steps in. He's the number two running back in Minnesota right off the bat. Dalvin Cook, you know, he's had some problems with injuries. He's going to need a guy to help carry the load. Madison's going to get a lot of snaps in Minnesota, and he's going to be a really solid running back. So thank you for the layup.
That's right.
All right, so with Alexander Madison off the board, I think I can officially go with my favorite player in this entire draft class, and that's Divino Zigbo out of Nebraska. He's, you know, I had him as my number two running back coming into the draft, and he obviously went undrafted. I was hoping for a later round selection by somebody, but he landed in just about the best situation you could imagine for any running back in fantasy football. You know, he's on the Saints, so we know how many fantasy points they churn out. And so, you know, he's a big guy. He contributes in the passing game. He had a later breakout at Nebraska, but, you know, when he broke out, he was really efficient. He's explosive. He's got adequate long speed. And I think the signing of Latavius Murray, you know, after the departure of Mark Ingram, shows that the Saints don't want to use Alvin Kamara in a Saquon Barkley role. They want him paired with another running back who can kind of split the load. And I think Divino Zigbo in a vacuum is a more talented player than Latavius Murray. So I think the odds of him just overtaking him on the depth chart are greater than zero. And then if there's an injury to either Kamara or Latavius Murray, you know, he's going to see opportunity. And, you know, if he sees 10 or 12 or 15 touches a game at any point, I think he's a weekly RB2. So he's a pretty unique handcuff in that he can see work with an injury to either one of two guys.
All right, deja vu. Good pick. You know, I don't know why this gentleman fell. I know people fell out of love with him. I still believe in him despite his draft capital. So I'm going with Kelvin Harmon. I think that he is a more talented Laquon Treadwell. I think that he scares people off. Michael's making a face at me because like a skinny Eddie Lacy. I believe in Kelvin Harmon. I think he's going to perform well in the NFL. I think he has a chip on his shoulder. So I'm going to go with Kelvin Harmon.
No, that's a good pick, and I actually took him in one of my rookie drafts just because I like the potential, and I got him way late in the second round too. I know a lot of people have been getting him in the third and the fourth, and I think they'd be happy with that. I'm going to follow that up with Terry McLaurin, another Redskin wide receiver.
I think that people off the board.
Yeah, I think that he's just got the speed to compete, and either one of those wide receivers can, you know, make an impact. Plus the rapport that when Dwayne Haskins takes over, not if, because you know that's happening, that is, you know, just a little bit of an edge. I'm not going to rely on that tiny bit of an edge once, you know, training camp actually hits. But again, I like his speed. I like his hands. You know, his senior year was pretty solid, and I think that he's going to grow from there. So Terry McLaurin as the second to last pick of our rookie mock at 213.
All right, I like it. I'm calling it. Dwayne Haskins is going to be the starter week one.
He should be.
I wouldn't be surprised there. Case Keenum is not a
backup. Backup material.
Right.
Wow, there's so many good players on the board with my Mr. Irrelevant pick here. So we got Dwayne Haskins is still available, Justice Hill, Jalen Hurd, Riley Ridley, another guy I'm really high on. But just because I haven't gotten a chance to take him in one of these mock drafts just yet, I'm going to take one of my personal favorite players in the entire draft that actually did get drafted in this entire class because he didn't get drafted, actually. James Williams, the running back from Washington State. I believe in him.
Over Darwin Thompson, who the Chiefs invested draft capital?
I think Williams is going to beat Darwin Thompson out, actually. He's an elite pass catcher. I mean, I've talked about him on the podcast before. He's elusive. He's fast. He's shifty. He's slippery. I mean, he catches the ball. I mean, the dude's just I don't know how he didn't get drafted, to be honest. It kind of makes me question whether, these NFL scouts know what they're doing.
Did I say Darwin Williams, too?
No, I think you said Thompson.
Okay, good, because, there are just too many Williams on that team.
There are a lot of Williams on that team.
Yeah, blame me for that if I made that faux pas. Anyways, continue.
So, I'm not very high on Damian Williams or Carlos Hyde, for that matter. I think that by the end of the year, James Williams is going to have himself, a pretty sizable role carved out in that high-octane Kansas City Chiefs offense.
So let's recap that second round, and then, Noah, I have a question for you to put you a little bit on the spot here. So the first pick of the second round was Deebo Samuel at 201. Kyler Murray followed at 202, then Herb Smith. Damian Harris was at 204. Deontay Johnson at 205. Jay Jaw at 206. Dexter Williams came in at 207. Follow that up with Miles Boykin. Then Devin Singletary on the Bills. Alexander Mattison followed up at 210. Divine Azigbo at 211. Excited to watch him play. 212, JJ picked Kelvin Harmon. I took Terry McLaurin. And then Ryan took James Williams. Now, Noah, the question that I had for you was, in that mock that we did, were there any surprises to you of players that maybe should have picked but we didn't, or that you think deserves to be in that first two round category?
That is a good question. I feel like one guy that was, I don't know if it's conspicuously missing because I'm not sure what his rookie draft ADP is at this point, but I think Ty Johnson for the Lions is a stud. I think he's a freak athlete. He's got three down ability. And I don't think they're looking to move on from Kerryon Johnson at all, but he's got as high of upside as anybody, I think, in this class as a running back. And then I'm not a huge fan of Justice Hill, but, you got to think playing next to, a running quarterback like Lamar Jackson, occupying linebackers, getting Justice Hill into space, which is where I think he's best. I think that's a great landing spot for him, and he's obviously a really talented athlete, so those are two guys that I think, deserve some consideration in the first two rounds of a rookie draft.
And JJ or Ryan, do you have anything to add? And I'll ask you the same question.
Dwayne Haskins. Especially if you need a quarterback. I think he's franchise quarterback material. I had Dwayne Haskins as my number one quarterback in this class for the longest time. And the only reason I moved Murray ahead of him is because, Murray, can rush for 500 plus yards as a quarterback, whereas Haskins isn't going to provide that from a fantasy standpoint. If you need a quarterback, you can't go wrong with the Haskins pick.
Jay Sternberger, tight end out of Green Bay.
Oh, that's another good one.
I think he's going to provide a lot of a good target. Jimmy Graham just didn't really work out. He's a little too old, a little too beat up. And I think Jay Sternberger is going to be able to show out this year.
And then I don't think that we talked about or mentioned the name Justice Hill, That might be also, you know, a pick. I think that the Ravens running back position can be a revolving door, and it's almost the flavor of the week. So there might be some potential to see him in that area of your drafts as well. So that's going to be all for us. Noah, thank you so much for being on the show. What a pleasure it was.
Thank you, Noah.
For you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
thank you guys for having me. It was a lot of fun. you know, it's my maiden voyage as far as podcasting goes, and you know, it was a lot of fun. This is really cool. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, well, it was definitely a privilege. I would love for you to again tell us where we can find all of your works and where we can find you on Twitter.
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter at Noah Moore Parties. That's my name, Moore, and then parties, like multiple parties. And then I write at Dynasty League Football. I just had an article on Ronald Jones come out. I'll be working on one coming up here pretty soon. And then my blog is thevitruvianprospect.blogspot.com.
Great. And also, you're a favorite on the Dynasty FF subreddit. I get a chance to read a lot of your stuff, and you really do get a lot of great feedback from the Dynasty community on Reddit. So we'll continue to look at your and read your works there. Of course, our works and our articles are at writerdynasty.com.
You can listen to us on Podbean, our YouTube channel, Spotify, iTunes, and check out our website at RiderDynasty.com.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at RiderDynasty.
And remember, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. We will read it on air if you give us that five-star review. Well, once again, thank you for listening. Thank you to all the guys, and especially Noah, for coming on and giving and imparting his knowledge. We will see you all next time.
Catch you in the next one.
Oh, drinks.